We're joined now by military analyst Anthony Cordesman. He's a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. As we've just heard, today's suicide bombing is the single deadliest attack since the handover of power. But the violence in Iraq, after slowing for a period after the handover of power, has picked up again in recent weeks. To what do you attribute this recent uptick in violence?
Well, I think we have to be very careful. A lot of this is not some clear pattern. Often when the news covers this, it only covers major events. But when you look at the actual number of attacks, particularly the lower level of attacks, they've gone on constantly. There was a pause briefly after the new government took over, but there was no reason for the pause. In fact, many people expected that there'd be an immediate increase in attacks. Instead, it's taken the insurgents some time to organize, or they had other goals. But during this process, the amount of sabotage, the amount of targeted theft, events like kidnappings have all gone on. And we often, again, only look at the foreign kidnappings. There have been 70 of those in the course of this year, but the fact is that when the kidnappings affect Iraqis, there have been hundreds, if not thousands, and a lot of these are either to raise money for insurgent groups, or again, they're designed to put pressure on the Iraqis, not to support the new government.
You've also suggested that in these lower-level attacks that the insurgents have achieved a level of sophistication and coordination, a new incarnation of something you've called net-centric warfare. What is net-centric warfare?
Well, for us, the idea is that we can use the most modern sensors, computer technology, satellite communications, precision weapons, and new battle management systems to create an almost electronic net that ties together all of the factors in modern warfare, and we call that net-centric warfare. But what we see in Iraq is something very different on the part of the insurgents. They create this informal, extremely low-cost net. Very often, the people carrying out the attack are receiving no money or token payments, and they can use very cheap methods of attack to hit at very high-cost targets.
How do they communicate with each other?
Certainly, we're not looking at a unified structure. A lot of groups keep springing up with new names. Some of them seem to be very small, and others seem to be cells of larger groups. So we're not talking about a system where we can find the leader or even the hierarchy and attack it.
Well, so while the interim government tries to remake or reconstitute the Iraqi army, what is the status of the U.S. military?
The U.S. military is still forced, basically, to carry out all of the truly demanding missions. It's lowering its profile. It's not conducting the kind of patrols or constant presence in most areas of Iraq that it did in the past. It's backed away from any confrontation with Sadr in terms of the Shiite areas in the south, or Sadr City inside Baghdad. So this lower profile doesn't mean that most of the security burden still doesn't rest with the U.S. forces.
It would seem then that that the insurgents, with this sort of loose federation that they've created, have the advantage right now.
They do have the advantage right now in a number of ways. They've been able to put constant stress on the military. But we also need to remember that a lot of what the insurgents are doing is creating hostility. People are angry at the bombings. They're angry at the killings, and particularly because so many of these are directed today at Iraqis. So this is not something where anybody can predict the outcome. All we can say at this point is this is a real war. It's not one as yet that the coalition or the new Iraqi government is winning. It's still too close to call.
Anthony Cordesman, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Anthony Cordesman is a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.